Track 6. Ah, well, back to the grind. It's been a long break, and I've quite forgotten what we talked about last time. But first, I hope all listeners have enjoyed a very happy Christmas, and that the early days of 2017 will seem full of promise. Of course, it would have been great to start the first sports report of the year with news of a stunning third-round FA Cup triumph for Stourbridge Football Club, the Glass Boys, but not to be, I'm afraid. I think it's fair to say they went down fairly gloriously in a 2-1 defeat at Wycombe Wanderers on Saturday. They were by no means outclassed by the full-time professional players of their League Two opponents, and with a bit of luck, they might have snatched a draw. With over 2,000 travelling fans urging them on, Stourbridge refused to be overawed by their higher-ranked opponents, and they contested every ball. The first half was pretty even, but Wycombe stole a march with their opening goal, a close-range shot which the excellent Gould in Stourbridge's goal had no chance to intercept. Undaunted, Glass Boys kept at it, and their reward came a few minutes into the second half. A cross into the Wycombe penalty box was contested by Stourbridge's Dan Scar and a couple of Wycombe defenders. Somehow he nicked it from them both, and the outside of his boot shot found the corner of the net with the goalkeeper nowhere. The match seemed to be heading for a draw and replay, but Wycombe's winning goal, a few minutes before the final whistle, really came from nowhere. A cross came in from their left wing and found their man-mountain forward, Akinfenwa, 6 yards out from goal. Like a battleship surrounded by a couple of annoying but ineffective little gunboats, he had the simplest of tasks to jump even higher and nod the ball into the net. That was all it took. Stourbridge's dreams were over for another year, but they have done brilliantly to get this far, their first ever venture into the third round of the FA Cup. But if they had prevailed against Wycombe, today they'd be contemplating a fourth round visit to Tottenham Hotspur and thinking what that could have done to their bank balance. Saturday's cup tie was Glassboy's first defeat in a long time, and in their league fixture since my final report of 2016 in mid-December, they drew 1-1 against Spennymoor Town, followed that up by holding the then league leaders Rushall Olympic to a goalless draw, and started the new year with a 1-0 victory away from home against Barwell. They're currently 11th in the Northern Premier League table, but while 9 points behind the league leaders, they have 4 matches in hand on them, and on most of the other teams above them, due to all the cup ties they've been involved in. They were due in action in a League Cup tie against Barwell again, the team they beat in the league last week, on Tuesday evening, but I'm sure the management and players are itching to get back into league action because Stourbridge definitely have a chance to go for promotion this season, and it would be great to see them reach the National League in 2017-18. I think they have the players and the infrastructure to do well at the higher level. Our other local side currently in the same Northern Premier League table as Stourbridge are, of course, Hales Owen Town, and I'm afraid you have to go all the way back to November the 5th for the last time they were the victors in a league match. They've managed a few drawn games since then, but the picture's been pretty bleak overall, and they've dropped all the way down to 19th in the 24-team league table as a result. There was another defeat on Saturday, 4-2 at home against Buxton, although maybe that was no surprise as Buxton are the current league leaders. But Hailsown took the lead in this match, then surrendered it, and it was pretty much one-way traffic in the visitors' favour after that. Hailsown's results earlier in the season gave them a bit of a boost, and they are still some way ahead of the very bottom clubs, but there's still a very long way to go until the end of the season, and their supporters must be fervently hoping for a change of fortune. So, after these two defeats at the weekend for our leading local soccer clubs, at least Stourbridge Rugby did the town a favour by beginning 2017 with a resounding win. They visited Sheffield and came away with the win by the wide margin of 40 points to 17. By all accounts, this was a pretty easy victory for Stourbridge, who were ahead after only 2 minutes, thanks to an interception and breakaway by winger Josh Trinham. A second try in the first 10 minutes confirmed their domination, and they went over their opponent's line 6 times in all during the afternoon, all their tries except the very last one, shortly before the final whistle, being converted by stand-off Luke White. Sheffield, to their credit, tried to exert some pressure, but it came too late in the game to affect the result. And Stourbridge will be on their travels again this coming Saturday with a visit to Scunthorpe and looking for a repeat performance. Unfortunately, last weekend's big win did not bring any advance for the club in the league table, as the three clubs above them in the standings all enjoyed bonus point victories as well. Just coming back to soccer for a minute, Saturday's third round of the FA Cup competition was the occasion where West Midlands club in the Premier Division and Championship joined the fray, so this would be a good moment to report on their success, or lack of it. In fact, it's mostly lack of it, as only Wolves are certain to appear in round four. Although currently languishing in the lower reaches of the Championship, they outperformed expectations on Saturday by travelling to Premier League Stoke City and winning 2-0. They will face the winners of the Plymouth Argyle-Liverpool replay in round four. Birmingham City are still alive in the competition, just. They drew at home on Saturday, 1-1 against high-flying Newcastle United, and they face a replay on Tyneside to decide whether they will take part in the fourth round, where they would visit Oxford United. Villa were knocked out at the first time of asking, 2-0 at Spurs, but perhaps the biggest shock of the day was Albion succumbing 2-1 at home to Derby County. Baggies were a goal to the good at half-time, but two goals in 3 minutes shortly after the break put Derby on the front foot, and a disappointing Albion were unable to counter. They're forecasting an icy blast for us in the coming days, but that will be the least of their problems for the England cricket squad, just starting out on a series of one-day internationals in India. This is a far different squad to the Test team who fared so miserably in the same country in the run-up to Christmas, when, after a creditable draw in the first Test match, they lost the next four. Under skipper Ian Morgan, the one-day side will hope for a much better outcome, and they started promisingly yesterday in a warm-up match against India A, which England won by 3 wickets. However, it has to be said that the main Indian spin bowlers, who wreaked such havoc against the Test side, were not taking part in this warm-up match. Replying to an Indian A total of 304 for 5 on Tuesday, England got home with a few balls to spare, thanks to an excellent 93 from Sam Billings and good support from Butler and the opening bat, Roy. There'll be a second match against India A on Thursday, followed by the first international against the full Indian 11 on Sunday the 15th. News of that in next week's report. You may think that early in January all would be quiet on the speedway front, but it's the time of year when the professional clubs at the top of the sport complete the re-signing of their riders for the 2017 season. The Wolverhampton Wolves have finalised their lineup for the new campaign. All of last year's champions are back, plus there'll be a return to the colours of Adam Skornicki, a former big favourite of the fans at Monmouth Green. One of the endearing features of Speedway, I think, is that many of the top riders go on performing well past the retirement date of players in other sports, and Adam is a case in point. He's aged 40 now and did, in fact, retire 3 years ago, but he'll be back this summer not only riding in matches, but as a bit of a coach and mentor for the younger riders, and Wolves have these as well. Max Clegg began a bit of a breakthrough last year and he'll be there again this time, and he is only 19. Also returning will be Kyle Howarth, who I think is still only 21. Then there's the Aussie Sam Masters. Jacob Thorsell will be back as well, and needless to say, Freddie Lindgren, who just goes on and on. Wolves will be racing in a revamped premiership this summer, comprising 10 clubs instead of 8, so the competition can only get tougher. Can they repeat their triumph of 2016, I wonder? I doubt if there was much of a Christmas break for newly ennobled Sir Andy Murray. He may have sneaked a few days off just around Christmas Day, but not long after winning the ATP World Tour final against Djokovic in London at the end of November, the victory that confirmed him as the new world number one, Sir Andy was off to Florida to begin his preparation for the Australian Open tournament, the first Grand Slam contest of 2017, which gets going next Monday. At the very beginning of this new year, he was in competition action in Doha, where he fought a series of tough three-set matches to reach the final, where yet again he found himself facing Djokovic, and this time it was the Serb who prevailed, winning the title by 2-1. I believe Murray will be spending this week on the practice courts in Australia. Meanwhile, there's a warm-up tournament taking place in Sydney, where Joe Konta and Dan Evans, the Birmingham boy, won their first-round matches, but there was a surprise defeat for Kyle Edmund, the British number two behind Murray, who was knocked out in the opening round by a lowly-ranked qualifier. Joe Konta's through to the quarter-finals now after a second win in this tournament against Davia Gavrilova, and I think she must like Australia because she's establishing quite a record there. It was at this time last year when she went on to reach the semi-final of the Australian Open tournament, and that was when she first really came to world attention, and of course she's now ranked world number 10 overall. Last week she readied herself for the Aussie Open tournament by playing in China, where she progressed all the way to a semi-final, in which she was surprisingly beaten by the much lower-ranked Czech player Katerina Siniaková. Well, that's all from the First Sports Desk of 2017. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back next time with the latest, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.